I have asked Matt to come and speak on today because we had youth camp here a couple of weeks ago. And besides that, I just like to see Matt get in front of adults and sweat a little bit. So would you welcome our own Matt Willis, please, this morning?
Camp was amazing. It's a lot of work. It's very tiring. It takes me a week to recover when I get home. They keep us up really late, and they get us up really early. But it is one of the best times that, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and just to see kids grow, to see them, like, come out of their shell, just like Lori was saying, and to see them, they don't even really truly understand what's happening to them, but the power of God just invading them, and for them to take over and to start praying and praying with authority and praying out loud and praying in the Spirit and to come home and to be excited about what happened at camp. And now, you know, Monday we're going to start having we're trying to put together a time to put together a teen youth worship band. And so Monday I'm going to go to the junior high school and I'm going to pick up whoever wants to come and they're going to come and hang out and do homework for a little while. And we have kids that are in choir and they want to sing. And the Preeby sisters are like, they can play everything. Like, and they can sing. And Luke, it's his day off, so he's able to come. And we're going to try to put together something. And they're just on fire and excited about it.
Tuesday nights are free.
Young people for the choir on Tuesday nights, but... I love Hume, but I'm so glad I went to a different camp this year. It was a day longer, which was definitely needed just to process what was happening there. To have a whole other day, it was a beautiful thing. I was worried that the kids were not going to like this camp and want to go back. Hume's very beautiful. It's new. It's kept well. They do a huge production. There's 1,500 kids running around crazy. You know, they have everything on site from snowboarding, ice skating, all this stuff. And Sugar Pine isn't like that. It's a little older. You know, the cabin smelled really bad, or at least mine did, before the boys took their shoes off. But just the atmosphere, the chapel, the parts that really, really matter, blew Hume away. I'll say it. I love Hume, but this, like, the power of God and His presence and the move of the Holy Spirit on young people, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. If you ever get a chance, if we have, you know, to be a counselor on a trip like that, I'll just do it at least once. You'll get hooked, but it's a great time. It's a great experience, and I'm just proud of our kids and how much they're growing, and it's a beautiful thing. I love that camp. When I got back, I had a meeting with Guy because he wants to talk about camp, and I was so excited, you know, because all the kids said, I want to go back to that camp. I don't, you know, like, not that they don't want to go to Hume, but they would rather go to Sugar Pine than Hume because the experience that they had. And so I had met with Guy, and we were talking about camp, and he's like, yeah, so, because his denomination, the Assembly of God denomination, puts on that particular camp, and he's like, yeah, so they moved their youth convention from the weekend of Thanksgiving break to that weekend, so they're not going to do winter camp anymore. They're going to do their youth convention. And I was like, what? He's all, but I see way more fruit from our winter camps than from our youth convention, so I'm going to continue to do that camp on that weekend. He wants us to be more involved. So I'm like, yes. So I believe we were there for a specific reason. I believe that God took us to that camp. We were able to take our group as a whole. I didn't have to reserve spots a year in advance. I was able to take my son with me, so he didn't have to sit all by himself at a dance convention, which isn't a bad thing if I'm there with him. But, because the girls are dancing, he would have no one to hang out with. So, but anyway, I'm going to show a quick video, another video. I'm sorry. Jocelyn said it would be better, or she really likes the video. Honestly, for me, it's hard to watch myself on video. It's just awkward. I don't know. I can pick out everything I did and said wrong and whatever, but it's a story. It's my story. It's an 8-minute video of my testimony. I know most of you or some of you know my story. Some of you don't have any idea where I came from. But this is just a video to give you an idea, a little introduction about me and why I do what I do. So, Pam, if you're ready.
Memory, it wasn't as real as it was from the first moment. And then my sister, she was a young, beautiful lady. She had just gotten married. She had 3 children from a previous relationship, and we were watching her children one night so her and her new husband could go out. And we received a phone call real early on a Sunday morning. She had been killed in a car accident. Here's my sister, doing right, living for God, dying in an accident, a car accident similar to mine. And it brought back that memory of God saving my life. She deserved to live. I didn't. And it brought back that memory of the night that God saved me from hell. And I had no idea what to do. I just knew. At that time in my life, when I felt pain, I wanted other people to feel the pain I felt. And my first thought was to inflict some sort of pain on someone else. But I didn't want to go back to jail. And I didn't want to lose my freedom again. And she had taken me to a church, North County Christian Fellowship, a couple times with her, because that's where she attended church. And it was about 6:30 in the morning, and I knew that they had an early service. And so to keep myself from doing something stupid, I rushed to that church, and there was no one in there. They were kind of setting up in the front for worship, and I just sat in the back row, and I was just sobbing. I couldn't control my emotions. I've never felt a pain that I felt that night. I've never felt anything like that since then either. And I just cried out to God, and I said, God, if this is how life is, I don't want to live. I don't want to feel this way. But if you can change me, I'll give you my life. And right about that time, the youth pastor and the Sunday school coordinator must have heard me sobbing in the back row, and they came, and the Sunday school the teacher, she knew my sister and her children, and so she prayed with me, and I prayed, and I gave my life to Christ that morning. It was the worst day of my life, but it was also the best day of my life. And I knew something had happened. I knew something was changing inside of me, but I was worried about falling back into my old lifestyle, so I really tried to avoid the people that I normally hung out with, and I had a best friend. We were like brothers. We did everything together, good and bad. And he had called me up one night and wanted me to come out with them, and I knew I couldn't anymore. I couldn't do the things that I used to do. I knew I was different, but I didn't know how to express that to him. I didn't know how to explain what was going on in my life. So instead of sharing what God was doing with me, I avoided him. And so this night he asked me to come out with him, and I told him no. You know, I was seeing a girl and I wanted to spend time with, she's now my wife, which is a blessing. I told him I didn't want to come out. I wanted to hang out with this girl. And about 2 in the morning, I got a phone call from his mother. This was 4 months after I'd given my life to Christ. And she said I needed to rush to the hospital, that he had been shot and that he wasn't going to survive. And that if I wanted to say goodbye, I needed to get to the hospital. And so I rushed to the hospital, and he's laying there lifeless, just hooked up to all these machines. And I kneeled at his bedside, and I just prayed, God, please accept him into your kingdom. Forgive me for not witnessing to him. Forgive me for not sharing what you were doing in my life. And it was at that moment I knew that I was going to have to share my story with anyone who would be willing to listen. And that young people were put on my heart, that I wanted to save them from the fate of myself or my best friend or my sister. And I want everyone to know the love of Christ. And it's by the grace of God and his mercy and forgiveness that I'm here today. And I want to share that with anyone that'll be willing to listen to my story.
Awkward. You okay? You're fine. All right. I just want to get this just a little higher. I think I need to get glasses or something. Yeah, that is most of my story. You know, when I was in the height of my sinful lifestyle, I had two kinds of like dreams. I had very severe night terrors, and it was always the same thing, just different situations. It was always a very ugly hand trying to snatch me and drag me down. I'm pretty sure that was me dreaming about Satan trying to take my soul. And the other dreams I used to have in the height of my sin, and I have no idea, well, I guess I do know. I used to have dreams of being this great speaker, and I had dreams of being like Billy Graham. And I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not anything close to Billy Graham. I'm not comfortable speaking. I get, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with the kids and stuff, but you put me in a situation like this and I get nervous and I don't know what to do with my hands and kind of pace around. But you know, God's put a call on my life, and I know that he wants me to minister to young people. Me and Jocelyn, we started a dance crew, God Squad dance crew, as you know, and it all kind of came from this, you know, my lifestyle from my past. And and you know, God gave us a vision. It was a very clear vision for young people, and we believe that these young people are the generation that's going to change our world. Finally, we have a generation that's going to step up, and it's been really cool, because some of the conferences, the camps, I meet other youth ministers who are given the same vision, that these young people today are the ones that are going to make a difference. I didn't do this in the first service. I always feel kind of weird doing two services, because I'm not. Number one, they're never the same. They're different. But I don't know if I do my best in the first service, or was it my second best because it's warming me up for my second service, or it makes my mind weird. But I just want, you know, I want you guys to understand that God gave not just me, but my wife, and there's other people in here that are supporting youth ministries in several different ways. And, you know, God's given us a mission field, and it doesn't, I don't just mean teenagers. I mean Sunday school kids, kids in general. They're, you know, they're powerful. And we believe that if we can minister to kids and they can go into their homes and they can be an influence on younger children and older people and parents and grandparents. If we can get young people to go home on fire for God and filled with the Spirit, they can change everyone around them. We don't all have that same sphere of influence in the world. Young people can influence the most people. And so I love kids. Like I said in the video, I don't want anyone to ever have to go through life and experience what I had to go through to come to Christ. You don't have to go through crisis to come to know the Lord. And I would much rather get kids to know the Lord and fall in love with Him and be filled with His Holy Spirit well before anything bad ever happens to them. And I often have kids, when I share my testimony, and we ask kids to share their testimony, and they're like, yeah, but I don't really have one because I didn't go through anything traumatic. I have a really good lifestyle. My childhood was great. I've been a good kid and never had issues. And it doesn't matter. Everyone's testimony matters. Everyone needs to share their testimony whenever they get a chance, because there's someone that you can speak life into through your own life experience. You don't have to have a gnarly testimony to influence someone's life. And there's always someone that needs to hear your story. So that's not in my notes. Sorry about that. Rabbit hole. I thought there was decaffeinated coffee in the back. It wasn't decaf. I try to stay off the coffee before I have to speak because it intensifies my nervousness and it causes my mind to go. I'm going to read to you guys from Matthew 25. It's 14 through 29. It's a parable that probably you all know. It's the parable of the talents. And I can't remember if this is the New King James Version or the New American Standard Bible, although they're very, very similar. They just put commas in different places. But I'm going to read it to you. I had to print it out on big paper so I could see it, because the print in my Bible is small, and I seriously am having a hard time reading this. But here we go. Parable of the talents. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, but he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, I want to thank you for your promises, for your word, God, for all that you speak to us through your word, Lord. And I just pray that right now you will just give me a clear mind to speak the words that you've called me to speak today, Lord, and that everyone in this room will just receive them from you, Lord. And just give us peace in this room right now and clear minds. Lord, I praise and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Focus. You know, from going to different camps and going to youth conventions and visiting other churches when we're traveling around or whatever, you know, I see a lot of different ministers. I see, you know, Gary and Steve here, and I look at them and I see everything they have to offer. I see great speakers and people who are good at motivating and people who are good at worship. And to me, it seems like all these people have the five talents to offer God. And often I feel like I might have two talents. I'm not a great speaker. Gary's trying to teach me how to play the guitar. Thank you. But I don't see myself as a five-talent guy. I see myself as a two-talent guy. But there's nothing wrong with being a two-talent guy. As long as I'm faithful to do what God's called me to do, as long as I'm willing to invest my two talents, I believe with all my heart that my God is going to bless that and that He's going to multiply my two talents and what I have to offer. I feel like if I continue to put myself out there, like if I continue to do stuff like this, that maybe there'll come the day where I am that good speaker and I don't get emotional and I don't get nervous, but I am more comfortable in what I'm doing. But the only way to get there is to keep doing it. God's calling me. I've got to obey. I've got to do what He says. Especially when it's uncomfortable. I don't have anything to offer you, but if I allow God's Spirit to work through me, I might have something of worth. Because this has nothing to do with me. But I want to talk to you guys about using your talents. Because God's given every person a purpose. God's given each one of you talents to use to glorify Him. And it could be different for everybody in this room. But God's given each person a call on their lives to do something for Him. We're all called to minister to the lost. There's no one in this room that isn't called to be a minister. You may not have to be a preacher or a teacher or a pastor or a cardinal or a bishop or a pope or whatever, but you are called to be a minister to people around you, whether it's your children, your parents, husbands, wives. We're all called to minister. And it's going to look different for each individual, but there's one common purpose and one common goal, and that's to lead people to Christ. It's that simple. And it's for everybody. It's not for specific people. It's for each person in this room. There are no spectators in God's plan for humanity. You know, I shared this in the first service, and hopefully it'll make sense to you guys, but I'm a huge football fan. I'm a Raiders fan. You got to be loyal to like the Raiders. I mean, there's nothing, you know. But I love football. I love football. And in football, you know, you go to the stadium and it's a huge stadium with 70,000 seats in it. And you have sidelines that are just lined with players and coaches and cameramen and stuff. But in God's plan, there's no stadium. There's no sidelines. There's just the playing field. You're either in the game or you're not. There's no sidelines. There's no place to be a spectator. I want to be in the game, and I want to be in the game all the time. I want to ask you today, where do your talents lie? God calling you to service somewhere? The choir? Sunday school teachers? Sound guys? Media people? Ushers? Encouragers? Where's your talent lie? What is your talent? What is God putting on your heart to do? Because we're running out of time. There's no time to wait around and try to figure it out. It's in your heart. John 4 says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are ripe for harvest." You know, the first thing that God puts on your heart is going to be the first thing that Satan lies to you about. The first thing that God tells you will be the first thing that Satan lies to you about. God's going to put something on your heart, something you're supposed to do, and Satan is going to lie to you about that. What comes up? Oh, no, I can't do that. Oh, that would make me uncomfortable. Oh, I might be embarrassed if I have to do that. We're going to make up excuse after excuse after excuse on why we don't need to be obedient to what God's calling, especially if it's uncomfortable. This is not comfortable for me. It's getting better, though. It is. I couldn't stand up here for 2 seconds without crying. But I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil anymore. He's constantly telling me I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. You don't belong in front of the... Don't you remember your past? Oh, I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let him steal my purpose. I'm not going to be the guy that buries my talent just because that's more comfortable than investing it. Nothing gives Satan greater pleasure than for someone to bury their talent. You're doing his job for him. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but if you bury your talent, if you hold on to it, if you keep it to yourself, he doesn't have to do nothing except sit by and watch. What's the parable say happens to the person that buries their talent? It says that whatever you got, God's going to take that from you and give it to somebody else, and that you're going to be considered worthless. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, and that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want that. I refuse. I refuse to be the one talent burying guy. And my point today is to encourage you to refuse to be that guy also. Or gal. Excuse me, to be correct here. God has a purpose and a plan for everyone in this room. The church has needs on all fronts. And I don't mean just our church. I mean church, God's church. It's not the building, it's the people. How often do we walk by a person in need or walk by, and I'm not talking about panhandlers, that's like a personal thing you got to come to grips with, but have you ever walked by a person you know they need prayer or an encouraging word, but you're too busy to stop? Kids in schools, you know the kids that are hurting. Do we reach out to them? Do we try to become their friends? Do we try to encourage them? And, you know, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, a 12-year-old girl took her life. She was being bullied. I heard stories of how she was just an amazing girl that people loved her, but she listened to the lies of the devil. She listened to the lies, and she acted on those lies. That's heartbreaking. We need to take notice of those in need. God is looking for people that are willing and available. I didn't say able, I said available. We're not able to do anything without God's Holy Spirit. You might feel like you don't have what it takes or anything to offer. That's a lie. I promise. God has given everybody a purpose and a talent. Everybody has something to offer someone. And I would encourage you guys to, and I'm not trying to be a downer right now. I'm just trying to be real. And this is what God put on my heart. And usually when God puts stuff on my heart, it's because it's something He's doing in me. And it's a personal thing. I would like to challenge you guys to really truly seek God, to ask God, like, if there's anything in my life that I'm not doing that I'm supposed to be doing, if there's something you're calling me to do and I'm ignoring you, if there's someone in my life that I need to minister to, will you please reveal it to me, God? And I promise He will. But once He reveals it to you, you need to act on it. You need to be obedient to what He's calling you to do. And it's not always going to be comfortable, and it's not always going to be convenient, and it's not always going to be easy. Most of the time, it's going to be a challenge. But if it's what God wants you to do, you need to do it. Because it will torture you if you don't. I've been there. I've gone through it. And there's a great satisfaction when God's called me to do something, especially something tough. And when I'm done doing it, just the release and the feeling of just, yeah, I pleased my Father today. Man. Who doesn't want to make their father proud? And I constantly remind myself that I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit in my life. I just can't do it. I have nothing to offer this world without the Holy Spirit. Without God in my life, I have nothing. But with God in my life, I have power. And it reminds me of Acts 2 or Peter. Peter was filled with the Spirit of God and he preached a sermon that resulted in 3,000 people responding to the gospel. And just, I don't know how long, a couple weeks, I don't know, don't quote me on the time frame, but just shortly before this happened, he was denying Christ more than once. He was at a fire pit where it says a young girl said, "I recognize you. You were with Jesus." And he's like, "Oh, not me." And when I read it, it almost sounds like he probably was using profanity while he denied Christ. It wasn't just a simple denial. He was vehemently, is that a word? Vehemently denying Christ. And he was using language that was not good. But yet, once the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon him, bam. He preaches and 3,000 people respond. That's amazing. That's awesome. And, you know, I think of my story, and most people I meet, they're like, "Oh, I can never imagine you being that person." That's a compliment. That's amazing, because that just goes to show how much God's Spirit has done in me to make me different from the person I used to be. It's part of my testimony, man. God changed my life. God put young people on my heart. And I will go to be uncomfortable and through uncomfortable situations, and I will be dead tired. But if I can help lead a young person to Christ, let's do it, man. Let's get dirty. Yeah. I love it. God has given each person a purpose and talents to glorify Him. And if you're willing to use whatever God's given you, no matter how little it is, if you use it, God will multiply it. God will make it grow. Your life will change. You know, I love to lead kids to Christ, and not just lead them to Christ, but to get them filled with the Spirit and to teach them how to use the power that God gives them and to make them want to. We had kids that were seeing visions at camp, and they were sharing them with us during our cabin times. Kids were getting filled, speaking in tongues, and I know not everybody understands that or gets it or even wants to understand it, but you can't stop the power of God. It wasn't anything I did. It just happened. God moved. And like I don't know if I said it in this service or the first one, but God's moved so much in my life that there's no way I could ever deny Him or who He is. I would have to be insane to tell anyone that God's not real and that the power of His Holy Spirit is not real. I'm just in a place in my life, I can't do that. And I'd like to think, no matter what happened, no one could make me do that. Because there are parts of the world where people are given a choice to deny Christ or to die. God bless the fact that we live in a free country where we can meet and gather and not worry about the persecution. It's a beautiful thing. God is good. God is so good. In Matthew 9:37-38, it says, He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." I'm here beseeching the Lord. We need workers. We need people to be involved. And I know some of you are involved and some of you give financially. And I don't want to sit up here and talk about money, but it's a blessing also. And some of you are able to bless us in great ways and to bless this church. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with that being your talent, so to speak. But I want to thank you guys, first of all, for just allowing me to be the youth leader at your church. And you know, the way with your guys' tithes and offering is how I survive with my family. And that's it. I couldn't ask for a better job. There's nothing better than working with young people and getting paid to do it. That's incredible. That's incredible. It's a beautiful thing. Going to camps, taking them to youth conventions, it's not work. I mean, there are sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, but it's not like busting my butt digging holes all day with a shovel. It's different, but it's a beautiful work. It's beautiful work. And to see, you know, one of the things that I love is we have kids that they've gone off into college and they come back and they visit us on their breaks and just to see them and how much they've grown and how much they love the Lord and they want to come back and they want to share with the younger kids and you know, according to all the statistics, kids that graduate high school are the first ones to leave the church. We got a group of kids that come back and they're feeding the church, the youth group. And that gives me great encouragement. I wrote that in my little statement because, man, there's such joy when they come home for vacation and they want to hang out with us. And they don't want to just come and hang out. They want to worship and they want to bring the word and they want to talk to the kids. It's amazing. And it just gives me great encouragement to know that God's moving in this church. In all aspects of this church, in the Sunday schools out here, in the teen room. Man, God's doing something, and it's cool to be a part of it. But I want to ask you Jocelyn, come up here, and I want to pray for you guys today, and I understand some of you are right where God wants you, and that's okay. But I bet there's people in this room that maybe they buried their talent. Maybe they're keeping it to themselves. Maybe God's called you to do something and you're not really comfortable with it, or you're unsure and you're putting it off. If you guys would just stand real quick, I want to pray for you. Just that God would give you clear vision of what He would like from you. I want to pray that you would have the boldness to just walk in faith and to trust God, that to believe that, yeah, could you strum the guitar for us a little bit? Just to know, just that God has a purpose and a plan and it's perfect. And if we're willing to just be obedient and we just follow Him, there's going to be downs and there's going to be ups, but I promise the end, the reward at the end is going to be more than you could ever imagine. And God wants to use each and every one of you to touch someone's life.
Yeah, I read through this. Matt showed me what he'd written down. And I was like, that's amazing. You need to give these people a chance to respond. Because it's so convicting, right? You listening to all these words that he's saying in here, like, oh my gosh, I need to not bury my talent. God, what do you want? Is there even more for me? Like, you discover one talent that you have for God, and maybe there's five more. For some of you, that you're discovering the one. For some of you, you're discovering number five. Whatever it is, wherever you're at, God wants to continue to work in your life and continue to bless you. And to those who have more, He'll give more. And if you choose to be obedient, He's going to bless that. And He's going to fill you with His Holy Spirit and give you the boldness and give you the tools that you need. And so if you feel like you're that person that wants to get plugged in, you want to do more for God, I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to just walk forward in boldness and say, yeah, God, this is me meeting you here. Walk forward. Walk forward and just stand at the front here, and not for me, not for Matt, not for the worship team, but for you to come to God. And God to see that, and He blesses you right now. He sees your faithfulness. He sees that and He loves it. And just coming forward in boldness is taking that step of faith towards God. And He's just anointing you right now. God, we thank You for Your anointing. We thank You that You see these people and that You meet them here. They're asking right now. This step of faith, this boldness to come forward in front of their peers, in front of their church, God. And say, I want more of You, God. I want to discover my talent. I want to offer my talent that You gave me back to You, God. With all that I am. All that I am, Lord. We just give it to You. All that You've made me, I'm Your child, Lord. And You've given me so much. And I just offer myself to glorify You, Lord. Show me how to do that. Lord, thank You for each person here. And I just confirm their act of faith right now in Jesus' name, that the enemy cannot steal this away right now. Each one of you is blessed. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give them the tools they need. Thank You, God.